take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to read something to you here. The story behind that song is probably my favorite story behind any hymn. I don't know a lot of hymn stories. I know some. I've got a whole book of them here, but I've not read this whole book. I don't know a lot of stories. I know some, but of the ones that I know, this is my favorite. And if you haven't heard this, I'm going to, I hope that you'll enjoy this. And if you do know it, I hope you'll just enjoy hearing it again. When the Great Chicago Fire consumed the Windy City in 1871, Horatio G. Spafford, an attorney heavily invested in real estate, lost a fortune. About that time, his only son, age 4, succumbed to scarlet fever. Horatio drowned his grief in work, pouring himself into rebuilding the city and assisting the 100,000 who had been left homeless. In November of 1873, he decided to take his wife and daughters to Europe. Horatio was close to D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and he wanted to visit their evangelistic meetings in England, then enjoy a vacation. When an urgent matter detained Horatio in New York, he decided to send his wife Anna and their 4 daughters, Maggie, Tinetta, Annie, and Bessie, on ahead. As he saw them settled into a cabin aboard the luxurious French liner, I don't even know how to pronounce the name of it, and unease filled his mind, and he moved them to a room closer to the bow of the ship. Then he said goodbye, promising to join them soon. During the small hours of November 22nd, 1873, as the ship glided over smooth seas, the passengers were jolted from their bunks. The ship had collided with an iron sailing vessel, and water poured in like Niagara. The ship tilted dangerously. Screams, prayers, and oaths merged into a nightmare of unmeasured terror. Passengers clung to posts, tumbled through darkness, and were swept away by powerful currents of icy oceans. Loved ones fell from each other's grasp and disappeared into foaming blackness. Within 2 hours, the mighty ship vanished beneath the waters. The 226 fatalities included Maggie, Tinetta, Annie, and Bessie. Mrs. Spafford was found nearly unconscious, clinging to a piece of the wreckage. When the 47 survivors landed in Cardiff, Wales, she cabled her husband, "Saved alone." Horatio immediately booked passage to join his wife en route on a cold December night. The captain called him, the captain called him aside and said, "I believe we are now passing over the place where the ship went down." Spafford went to his cabin, but found it hard to sleep. He said to himself, "It is well, the will of God be done." He later wrote his famous hymn based on these words. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we are here tonight because, in this passage tonight, because I just wanted to give a little more study and a little more attention to the next passage in Romans, and so decided to wait until next Sunday morning to preach on that. I want to do it justice. And so I thought we would look at this passage here this evening. But 1 Chronicles 16, let's begin in verse 1. "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel with psalteries and harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, and the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Dear Lord, tonight as we come to your word again, we just pray for your help. Lord, I need your help to preach it, and we all need your help to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the previous chapter, David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And as he did, we won't go back and read it, but you'll find in the very last verse of the previous chapter, you'll find that he was dancing. And the Bible says that he danced and that he played. And he was dancing and playing. And his wife looked out the window and saw what he was doing, and she despised him for it in her heart. She looked out the window and saw what he was doing, and she despised him for it in her heart, Scripture tells us. Now, okay, the ark has been brought into the city. David is rejoicing over this. He's thankful over this. And now he delivers his first recorded psalm. This is the first recorded psalm of David, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. Let's look at it tonight and find the actions of the thankful. What are the actions of the thankful? A thankful heart should produce these actions in our lives. Now, if we're thankful for what God has done for us, none of these tasks should be hard for us to perform. First of all, we find in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord. The thankful will give thanks. How foolish would it be to thank anyone else for something that God has done? A man gets up in the morning and breathes God's air and drinks God's water and eats God's food and goes to the job that God has provided and works it with the body and the strength that God has given him, and takes that paycheck that God has provided home and buys things that his family needs and pays for the house, the shelter that God was gracious enough to put over his head. And in the end of his years, some of those men, the ones who've not trusted Christ, some of those men will boast in the hard work that they have done and try to boast in the work of their hands rather than thanking God for His goodness. You know, the Bible says that every good gift comes from above. Okay? So even in the life of a lost person, when good things happen, that's just the grace and mercy of God in their lives. You see, every good thing comes from God, and so God shows His goodness on everybody. The difference between the lost person and the believer is that the believer acknowledges it. The believer acknowledges that those good things come from God rather than taking those things for granted. But how foolish is it for a man to brag and to be proud about what he has done and to boast in what he's done when it was only by God's grace and God's mercy that he was able to do those things? Are you thankful and grateful, or do you take the blessings and gifts of God for granted? Let me ask you, have they become commonplace to you? Have they become commonplace to you? Are you still thankful for His provision? Are you still thankful for salvation? Are you still thankful for the Bible? Are you still thankful for your church? Are you still thankful for other believers? Are you still thankful for all the wonderful things that God has done in your life? Are you thankful that you're here tonight? Are you thankful that, well, you're saying, I'll answer that when I see how long you preach. Are you thankful that you're here tonight? Are you thankful that God woke you up this morning? Are you thankful for His provision and all that He's done? Or has it become commonplace? You know, sometimes we get up and we get out and get going. And we get running about with our day. And we wait too long to stop and to thank our God for giving us another day. We wait too long to acknowledge all that He's done for us just in the few hours of the morning. Are you thankful that through the night He kept your heart beating, kept your lungs breathing? Are you still thankful for all that God has done? Above all, are you thankful, still thankful, that He saved your soul? You see, there is a danger in us being saved for a long time. If we're not careful, we might kind of get used to it. And though we have not feared death and we have not feared hell for years, if we've been saved for a long time, that doesn't mean that we should no longer be thankful that we're not going to spend eternity in hell anymore. You see, when we get years and years removed from that fear and we haven't feared hell, we haven't feared death for a long time, sometimes if we're not careful, we kind of get used to the idea of being saved. But you know, the song of our heart should always be in that regard, that I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story, that it would never become commonplace to us. The thankful will give thanks. It says, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. The thankful will not only give thanks, but the thankful call upon His name. If you're thankful for something someone's done for you, what do you always want to do? You want to tell them. You want to thank them personally. You want to let them know how thankful you are. If you're thankful for what God's done, you'll want Him to know. A heart of gratitude cannot remain silent. If God is your all in all, you want to spend time talking with Him, calling upon His name, and letting Him know. The thankful will also make known His deeds among the people. Make known His deeds. If you're thankful for what God has done, tell Him, call upon His name, and tell other people what God has done. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Why would we want to do that? Because we're thankful for what He's done for us. We're thankful that we're some of the creatures that He saved, who are no longer going to hell. And out of thankfulness, we want to go and tell people what God has done for us. Hold your place there and go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Did you start out when you got saved singing the mercies of the Lord? Did you start out telling people how good He was? Did you start out, but then somewhere along the line, has your song been quieted? Are you still saved? Has God changed? Does your thankfulness still remain? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. How long? Forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And that brings us to verse 9 in 1 Chronicles. Sing unto him. The thankful will sing. We sing about things that we know, and we sing about things that we care about. Well, do we know our God? And do we care about what He's done for us? Sing, lift up your voices unto Almighty God. You know, the world is not ashamed to sing about the things that it sings about. And I don't know about you, but you can hardly go into a grocery store or any type of place of commerce. If there's music playing, you're more than likely going to end up blushing before you get out of there. If you're lucky, it's so busy in there you can't hear. But if you can hear what's coming across those speakers, you're going to end up blushing before you get out of that place. I'm telling you, the world is not ashamed or afraid to sing about what's important to it. And they'll sing about filth, and they'll sing about immorality, and they'll sing about adultery and fornication and drugs and drunkenness and all types of wickedness. And no remorse whatsoever. They want people to hear their song because that's what matters to them. I do not remember exactly what the song was the other day, but I had to come to town and had to run down to get some things from the hardware store. And I was listening to, I think it was a song called Immortal Invisible. And I was listening to this song in the car and got out of the car and I found myself walking through the store still singing this song, this kind of worship type praise song. And I was walking through the store still singing this song. And I thought, I just thought about how odd and how strange people probably thought that I was if they were close enough to hear me or see me. But you know what? They're not ashamed to let their filth be known. They'll crank it up on the loudspeaker. They're not ashamed to talk filthy in line in front of you and behind you and maybe even to you. Why should we be ashamed? Why should we be worried? If the song is in your heart, then let the song out of your heart wherever you are. Lift up your voices unto God Almighty. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 3. No, look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Has the Lord done that for you? Well, if you've been saved, He has. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He's put a new song within us. Let the song be heard. Sing unto Him, the Bible tells us. It also says there, talk ye of all His wondrous works. The thankful will talk. Are you telling others not only how to be saved, but of all the wonderful works that God has done? In verse 10, glory ye in His name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory. Are you glorying in the Lord or are you glorying in yourself? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and Are you glorying in the Lord or are you glorying in yourself? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Well, they'll laugh. Well, they'll make fun. They won't want to talk to me anymore. They won't want to be around me anymore. They'll give me a hard time. Well, look what Paul said. He said, the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What Paul's saying is, I don't belong to them and they don't belong to me. Now, I don't. The cares of the world are not my cares. I'm not concerned with if the world likes it or not. I'm crucified unto them. The world is crucified unto me. We're no longer in the same boat. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Are you glorying in yourself or are you glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ? It says, glory ye in His holy name. That's what thankful hearts do. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. As we lift up our voices, we must also lift up our heads and our hands. We have something to be thankful for. And so we rejoice in the Lord. Verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. The thankful heart will seek the Lord. The thankful heart will seek His face continually. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when we are troubled or in trouble, but continually. Continually. Do you stay close to your Lord, seeking His face and asking His guidance and His direction in all the things of life? Or is it just once in a while when certain things are going on? Do you try to take the controls and then when it gets rough, turn it over to the Lord? How close do we stay to Him in prayer and in the Word, seeking His face? Lord, guide me in all that I do because You're the only one who knows the way. You are the way. I remember seeing a little picture one time, had a picture of an old country church on it. And it said, God wants full custody of His children, not just weekend visits. And how many times do we treat our Lord like that? Lord, it was a good day in church. I'll see you next Sunday. Lord, I sure am glad that You are here helping me through this trouble that I'm going through, helping me through this hard time that I'm going through. But Lord, once it's over, I'll take over again. Lord, I'll call You when I need You. Don't have a 9/11 walk with the Lord. Remember, 9/11 hit and the churches were full. That's what happens when disaster hits nations. When recessions are going on and depressions are going on, people want to get into church and want to ask God for His help. And then once they make it through, too often it's like you've heard the term jailhouse religion. Somebody's in trouble, they got caught, they're in jail. They'll let the preacher meet with them, but once they get out, once the sentence is shortened, some of them that have been that really did get saved will continue for the Lord, and then some of them were just trying to make the jailer happy and make their family happy and just trying to get out of a tough spot. And then if they do get out of a tough spot, they try to take over again. Listen, if you're thankful for what God has done, you'll seek His face continually. It won't be, Lord, I'll come get you when I need some help. I'll call you if I need some help. I'll call you if I need you to get me out of trouble. But no, the thankful heart will stay close to Him and say, Lord, I want to talk to You no matter what because You're my Lord and I love You and You've been good to me. And if I'll stay close to You, I won't have to go yelling for You when I get in trouble because I'll stay out of a lot of that trouble. Lord, if I just stay up close to You, and I'm walking with you, then I won't be walking in those paths that will get me into trouble. The thankful heart will seek his face continually. Listen, it is true that the church, the body of Christ, the church has always, scripturally you see it, historically you see it, the church thrives under persecution. I mentioned this Wednesday night that, I think maybe it was Wednesday night, that maybe one of our problems in this country is that we're not being persecuted enough and we've taken our freedoms for granted. My prayer just, I think maybe it was just last night, my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, don't let us wait until we've lost some of these freedoms. Let us realize what we have now and not take it for granted and use it for your glory. I'd hate to see us wait until our freedoms have been taken away from us to look back and say, boy, look at what we did. We should have used it when we had it. We ought to realize what we have now and not be lulled to sleep. But we ought to realize what we have now and out of thankfulness for our Lord, say, Lord, you've saved us and you let us be in this country where we can put the name of the church on the building and not worry about the government coming in and hanging us or beheading us or running us out of town or shutting us down. We don't have to worry about that. I mean, come on. We see a little bit of religious persecution here in our country, but really when you compare it to what's going on in other parts of the world, it barely exists. We're still able to come in here today. We're still able to come in here today and meet like this and not have to worry and not have to fret about, you know, who's going to find out that we're in here having church. We can put up billboards and we can go door to door and knock on people's doors and invite them to church and tell them how to be saved. Whether things are good or bad, you see, the church often thrives under persecution. But we ought to try to thrive no matter what. It shouldn't take persecution. If we would thrive and we would seek his face continually and stay close to him, then he wouldn't have to get us in line with persecution. You realize as we look at the example of Israel that they could have avoided all that hardship. If they would have just stayed close to God, if they would have just lived in obedience, they could have avoided all of that. They wouldn't have had to worry about the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and they wouldn't have been driven out, and they wouldn't have had to go back and rebuild the temple because it had been destroyed. And go back even further, they could have gone into the promised land day one. They wouldn't have had to wait for a whole generation to pass and wait 40 years wandering around before they could go in and enjoy it had they just been obedient to the Lord and stayed close to him. He said, go in and drive out those people that are there, and they wouldn't do it. And so they had to wait and wait and wait before they got to go in. You realize that if we would seek his face continually and just stay up close to him, just stay right up close to him, then we wouldn't have to go down a lot of these roads and have a lot of this trouble that we oftentimes see. We wouldn't have to start seeking his face when we're in trouble. We could avoid a lot of it. The thankful heart will seek his face continually. Verse 12 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. If thankful, remember. How often do we reflect upon all that God has done for us? If we neglect this step, we're prone to forget. The devil would love for us to forget, and he'll put things in our way to distract us, to try to get us to forget. You know, it is very easy for us to get wrapped up in our temporal cares, in our physical cares, and not stop and think about how we are far better off than a lot of other people. You know, as I look around this room, I know a few of the physical things that some people deal with and have dealt with. But of the things that I know about, I think all of us would say, but you know, I sure am blessed compared to a lot of people that I know. I mean, I got to go down and let a doctor crack my back once or twice a week so I can, not be in a whole lot of pain and be able to sleep and work. And yes, what is that? That's a minor annoyance. I have a rough time sleeping. But you know, really, that's a minor annoyance. I'm here tonight and I'm not on life support. I'm not worried about cancer taking me. Yeah, I got a little bit of eye trouble. I can still see and drive, and I can read God's word. And you see, if we're not careful, we'll concentrate on the bad stuff that's happened to us, and we'll start crying, and we'll start moaning about those things and forget. Now, wait a minute. For one, this life is not all that there is. It's all going to be better when I leave here. And two, I really don't have it all that bad. You know, I have found, and you probably have too, some of the people who have the best outlooks and the best attitudes and who rejoice the most are the people who are going through more than anybody else. And the people who complain the most a lot of times have it better than most other people. I'll give you just one example that most of us in here can relate to. Dear Sister Cecilia was just in poor health pretty much her whole life. I believe she told me she had rheumatic fever when she was young, and that started her heart problems, and she just was in poor health for years and years and years and years. And I don't say this, in a bad way, but her health problems were such a big part of her life that if you'll remember, and I'm not talking bad about our departed sister, but if you'll remember, most of Cecilia's conversations had to do with her health. Because she was just always at the doctor's. There was always something going on. I know she had at least one procedure just right after I came here. I remember going up to the hospital to see her before she went into surgery, and she was having something done on her stomach, I believe it was. And she told me one time that Now, Cecilia liked to bring pictures. I don't know if you remember that, but she used, she'd have like these scopes and things done, and she liked to bring these pictures. And I'd tell her, that's okay, I don't need, that's all right. But that's what she knew. That's what her life was, day in, day out, was hospitals and doctors and medicines and health problems. Sister Cecilia told me one time that it took from, I think, breakfast to lunch, half a day every week on Monday to line out her medicine for the week. So 3 or 4 hours every Monday, that's how long it took her to get her medicine split up for the week. But you know what? Even though I remember all that about her, you know what I remember most about her? I remember just her good, overall, sweet disposition and attitude. And always wanted to know how you were doing. And if she could, wanted to do something for you. It wasn't a whole lot that she was really able to do, but wanted to do something for you. And though that consumed her because it was what her life really was day in, day out, she always had a pleasant disposition. She always had a good attitude. When we first moved here, she gave us all kinds of information about town. I mean, she was, I think she offered us phone books. She might have even given us phone books. I don't know. And she told us you know, you can call this agency if you need, you know, the something fixed out in front of your house, and here's when the library's open, and here's how you get a library card. And she was trying to make us feel at home in our new home. She was doing everything she could to try to make us feel at home. Had a real rough go of it most of her life. But I remember a woman with a sweet disposition and a faith in God. Why is it oftentimes that people that are going through the most seem to rejoice more than those of us who really aren't going through that much? And one of the things that happens is when we have it so good, we forget. We forget about how good we have it. We don't stop and think about how good we have it. We don't stop and think about all that He's done for us. It says there, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. You know, if the Lord didn't do anything for you past salvation, you've still got enough to thank Him for the rest of your life. But how many of us did He stop there? Look at Psalm 103. This is one of my favorite psalms. I think I've preached on it a couple of times. You might mark it down in your notes, go home sometime this week and read Psalm 103. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And you go on and you read, forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction. And you just go on and on and on and on. And you know why I believe that David in that psalm, in the 103rd psalm, needed to tell us, hey, don't forget all that God's done, because we're prone to forget. I believe that that's why the Lord had him to pen that psalm, because we are prone to forget. The thankful heart will remember. If you look down there, I want you to jump down to verses 23 and 24. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. Tell others of salvation. If you're thankful for being saved, tell other people how to be saved. Tell them how He saved you and how He'll save them. Tell them how they need to be saved, just like you needed to be saved. Notice that it says day to day. We are never to cease being a witness. In the cold weather months, we don't always do our monthly outreach. But listen, if our monthly outreach is the only time that you're witnessing, that ought not be. That should just be another opportunity to do more of what we're already doing, day to day. Verse 25, it says, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The world has its gods. It has its idols. What is shameful is sometimes they show more devotion and more praise for their idols and their gods than some Christians do for our God. And ours is the only God. I didn't read it, but I saw something the other day, and from what I could gather, you know, with the current situation, anytime someone famous comes down with this virus that's in the news, you know, ball players and actors and all this. And I saw something the other day, and I didn't read it, but from what I could gather, one of the world's idols, one of its actors, was making public, they're under quarantine, and they were making public the way it looked, like they were telling people the music that they were listening to while they were under quarantine. Now, I didn't read it because there is no way in the world that I could care any less than I do right now about what they're listening to while they're under quarantine. But I couldn't help but think of how many people probably read that, and that meant something to them. How many people would want to know right now, well, how are they coping? How are they dealing with this? And sadly, oftentimes, there's more devotion shown there than what we show to our God, who is real, who is, as the Scripture says, but the Lord made the heavens. You see, their gods are not real, they're false, and their idols that they set up are just people. And look at the devotion that they give to them, but the Lord made the heavens. Shouldn't He get more devotion from us and more thankfulness from us and more praise from us than they bestow upon their false gods and their idols? Verse number 30. Fear before Him, all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Now we know that in the day of the Lord that everything's going to melt with a fervent heat. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about God being in control of it all. God being the creator. And this thing's going to wear out whenever He says it's time for it to wear out. It's going to come to an end whenever He says it's time for it to come to an end. Look, that's a God that we ought fear. The thankful heart will fear Him. And then verse 34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Well, that's something right there to thank Him for, isn't it? I'm glad His mercy endureth forever because I've needed an awful lot of it since I've been born again. And I know from now until the time I go to heaven, I'm going to need a lot more. I'm glad that His grace doesn't end and that His mercy doesn't end. I'm glad that it's not like mine. I'm glad it's not limited. I've been to that well many times. And I know myself well enough to know I got a few more trips to make. And the well of His mercy never runs dry. For His mercy endureth forever. You know, we as a nation ought to be thanking God for His mercy. Why we're even still here with what we have done to our Lord, if that's not a testament to His mercy. We live in a nation that its founding principles came from His Word. And now lawmakers are trying to ban His Word. And so many in our nation are trying to do everything they can to live against God's Word. And mock Him and shake their fist at Him. You say, "I don't think that's really going on." Then you need to open up your eyes. I don't even follow the news. You know, I barely see a little bit of the news, and the little bit that I see, I can see what's going on in our country. I can see the hatred toward our God. He said they would. He said they did. It's there. And I tell you what, if you want to see the mercy of the Lord, just look at our country. Since the 1970s, how many millions of unborn children never saw the light of day? Because the Supreme Court said, that's not murder, that's a choice. We have got to be balancing on a string. why we're even still here. The only answer is because His mercy endureth forever. Listen, He may have to deal with us. And if He does, that doesn't mean that His mercy has ceased. But all I can say is it has to be by His grace and mercy that He hasn't dealt with us more severely than He has already. I'd like to see us wake up so that He doesn't have to, but I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening. But what are you and I to do? What are you and I to do? Hey, He might have to deal with this nation that we're in. But you and I need to seek His face and stay close to Him and keep doing the work He's called us to do and keep trying to live holy lives and telling people how to be saved and keep our eyes fixed upon Him. Let me point this out in closing, verse 34. We've seen that the thankful heart will do what? Well, it'll give thanks, it'll call upon His name, make known His deeds, sing unto Him, talk about Him, glory in Him, rejoice in Him, seek His face, remember what He's done for us, tell other people how to be saved, give Him worship and praise, fear Him. And then, when you come to verse 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Turn around and thank Him all over again. Turn around and start it out with giving thanks unto Him, and then turn around and just give thanks unto Him again. If you read the Bible all the way through, do you stop and say, okay, that's it, I read it? Or do you go back and say, I gotta read again, I gotta read that again, I figure that out. I got a lot here to try to figure out. Even if you had it figured out, wouldn't you go back and keep reading it just because it's good, because it's from your Lord? You ever read a letter that somebody sent you multiple times? You read it once and then you wanted to read it again and read just because of who it was from? Well, we don't bore of this letter, do we? We don't grow tired of this letter. We get done doing all of these things. We really don't ever get done doing these things, but when we go through and make sure that we're doing these things, we turn around and just go right through it again. And stay after it and continue to give Him thanks. Is your heart thankful for what He's done? If we say yes, but we don't have any of these things going on, the two statements contradict one another. Let's not just have a thankful heart, let's let our thankful heart be seen and let it be shown. As we go through and make sure that we're staying close to Him and telling others about Him and remembering all that He's done for us. I'm just going to dismiss us tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for who You are, the fact that You never change, Your love, Your grace, Your mercy upon us. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for Your eternal security, the gift of the Comforter. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for that blessed hope, for the promise to come back and to send Your Son back to get us. Thank You for the peace that You give us. Thank You for all that You've done for us. Lord, I pray You'd work on each and every one of our hearts in this matter of thankfulness and not taking for granted what You have done. Lord, I pray that You would just do a work in our hearts. Lord, please keep Your hand upon us and keep us safe as we go home this evening. Help us this week to be servants for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.